Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Freedom at Midnight by Larry Collins is a narrative history of the dramatic final days of British rule in India and the turbulent birth of two new nations in 1947. Written for general readers, it presents the political stakes, personal rivalries, and urgent decisions that shaped independence, partition, and the first conflicts that followed. The book is widely known for its cinematic pacing and its focus on key figures such as Lord Mountbatten, Jawaharlal Nehru, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, and Mahatma Gandhi, while also emphasizing the wider human consequences of high-level choices. Rather than treating independence as a single celebratory moment, it explores the pressures of deadlines, administrative collapse, communal violence, and the logistical challenge of transferring power across a vast subcontinent. As a result, the story becomes not only an account of diplomacy and governance, but also a study of how history can turn on miscalculation, fear, and hurried compromise. It remains a prominent entry point into understanding the end of the British Raj. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the countdown to transfer of power, a central thread of the book, is the compressed timetable that drove the endgame of empire. It examines how British authorities, facing post-war exhaustion and political pressure at home, sought a rapid exit, and how that urgency shaped every subsequent decision. The narrative highlights the administrative reality of ruling a vast territory while planning to hand over control, including the risks of weakening institutions before replacements were ready. It also emphasizes the uncertainty that surrounded the future structure of the subcontinent, with competing visions for a united India versus a separate Pakistan. By focusing on the atmosphere of deadlines and cascading consequences, the book shows how haste can magnify mistrust among negotiating parties, encourage maximalist positions, and reduce the space for careful safeguards. The transfer of power was not only a constitutional matter, but also a logistical operation involving armies, civil services, communications, and provincial governments. In presenting this countdown, the book underscores a larger lesson about state formation when timelines outrun capacity. Even well-intended plans can become brittle, and small failures can trigger nationwide instability. Secondly, leadership, personalities, and political strategy. Freedom at Midnight is remembered for portraying independence as a contest of strategies driven by strong personalities. It places major leaders at the center of the story, illustrating how their goals, fears, and negotiating styles influenced outcomes. Lord Mountbatten appears as the last viceroy navigating competing demands and attempting to manage an orderly withdrawal while keeping British interests intact. Jawaharlal Nehru and other Congress leaders are presented as balancing ideals of unity and modern governance against the realities of mass politics and communal tension. Muhammad Ali Jinnah and the Muslim League represent the demand for a separate homeland and the conviction that safeguards within a united framework would be insufficient. Mahatma Gandhi is depicted as a moral force whose approach sometimes clashed with the hard calculus of power. The book's emphasis on personal interactions helps readers see how mistrust, perceived slights, and tactical gambits can harden negotiating positions. At the same time, it suggests that structural forces and popular pressures constrained individual choice. The overall effect is to link big constitutional shifts to the human dimension of leadership under extreme strain. Thirdly, partition and the mechanics of drawing borders. The book explores partition not as an abstract idea but as a set of urgent administrative tasks with life or death consequences. It describes how borders had to be drawn across mixed districts, economies, and infrastructure networks, turning maps into instruments that would determine citizenship, security, and access to resources. The process required decisions about provinces, princely states, military assets, railways, and administrative records, often under conditions of incomplete information and intense political pressure. By showing the speed and secrecy surrounding boundary making, the narrative conveys why rumor and panic spread so quickly among communities that feared becoming minorities on the wrong side of a new line. The book also draws attention to the mismatch between elite negotiations and the everyday realities of villages, towns, and cities where identities were intertwined and livelihoods depended on cross-regional ties. Partition becomes a case study in how statecraft can underestimate social complexity. The emphasis on mechanics helps readers understand why the trauma was not only a product of hatred, but also of institutional overload and the sudden redefinition of home, property, and belonging. Fourthly, communal violence and the human cost. A major focus is the eruption of communal violence that accompanied the political transition. The book depicts how fears about future security, revenge cycles, and the collapse of local order produce mass displacement and atrocities. It situates violence within a landscape of weakening authority, where police forces and administrators struggled to cope with rapidly escalating unrest. The narrative highlights the role of rumors, provocations, and the speed at which incidents could cascade into broader conflict. It also emphasizes the refugee crisis, as families fled across newly forming borders, often with little protection and scarce resources. By keeping the human cost in view, the book challenges any simplified story of independence as purely triumphant, arguing that freedom arrived amid profound suffering. The portrayal of violence is also tied to themes of responsibility and prevention, how political leaders, colonial officials, and local power brokers responded, and how failure to anticipate worst-case scenarios can be as consequential as deliberate wrongdoing. For readers, this topic illuminates the fragility of social peace when identity politics and insecurity overwhelm shared institutions. Lastly, early nation building and the Kashmir crisis. Beyond independence and partition, the book addresses the immediate challenges of turning new states into functioning governments and the rapid emergence of strategic conflict. It examines the integration of princely states, a complex process in which rulers, local populations, and national leaders negotiated accession amid competing pressures. Kashmir becomes a pivotal example, illustrating how ambiguous authority and competing claims could ignite confrontation between India and Pakistan almost immediately after their creation. The narrative shows how the crisis combined local dynamics with national pride and security concerns, transforming a regional dispute into a defining issue for both countries. This topic connects the events of 1947 to longer-term patterns: militarization, diplomatic deadlock, and the way unresolved questions at founding moments can harden into permanent flashpoints. By portraying early nation building as a continuation of crisis management rather than a clean break, the book helps readers understand why institutions, borders, and legitimacy were contested from the start. It also suggests a broader insight into post-colonial transitions. Independence can be the beginning of new conflicts unless political settlement and administrative capacity advance together. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want an accessible yet substantial account of how India and Pakistan emerged from the end of the British Raj, including those interested in political history, international relations, and South Asian studies. It can also benefit anyone trying to understand why modern disputes and national narratives in the region remain so emotionally charged, because it ties founding decisions to lasting consequences. The value for a reader's life is practical as well as historical. It strengthens critical thinking about leadership under pressure, the risks of rushed policy, and the human costs that can follow when institutions fail to protect ordinary people. Compared with many academic surveys, Freedom at Midnight is often sought out for its sweeping storytelling and focus on pivotal moments and major actors, making complex events easier to follow without requiring specialized background. At the same time, it complements more scholarly works by giving a vivid sense of urgency, contingency, and lived reality during transition. If you want a single narrative that connects diplomacy, border making, mass migration, and the first crisis of new states, it is a worthwhile purchase and a memorable gateway into the period. If you would like to support Larry Collins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.